Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Telling stories, not really your thing, is it?
No. But it was hers.
Who?
The Queen. With the red hair.
I suppose you will, said the Prince. Evil sorcerer. Just one more thing. The sorcerer, poised to reduce them to fractions of dust, stopped. His magic was gone, stolen back in the very manner he had arrived by it in the first place. Beaten at his own game, he melted, and all was right again. In time, they would forget he was ever there, but they would never forget the lesson. There is no better teacher than one's enemy.
I like when Monty Python's always like, "That's too silly," you know, and they're acting all serious.
Stop that!
You guys are a little too silly.
Too silly.
Yeah.
Too silly. All right. Yeah. So
serious Star Trek.
Okay. This is serious stuff, you guys.
Yes, we've been being too silly.
This is serious stuff, you guys.
Time it's been wrong. Now
we gotta shift gears to get into our
Monster Wolves
serious podcast.
Season 2, episode 7, Monster Wolves.
Our traditionally serious podcast in which we take everything very seriously.
Not serious satellite, mind you. Does anyone even know what that is anymore?
I don't think so.
I'm sure people know what serious.
But do the kids know what Sirius XM is?
Well, I think the kids know it as Sirius XM. They wouldn't know it's merely as
serious.
Merely as serious.
That they didn't know the two
and
the thing
XM.
Climbed. They didn't know they combined.
Oh, the media mergers of the early 2000s and 2010s. That was some wicked business. Wicked business going on there. But yeah, we're not here to talk about the North American media landscape. We are here. the corporate destruction. Music and talk radio. Okay, no, that's not the topic. Topic is, Dan, you had already referenced it. It was Star Trek Picard.
Mm-hmm.
It was an episode called Monsters. It's the second season of Star Trek Picard.
Yep.
It is the seventh episode of that second season of said second season.
You really drew that out.
It is which episode of the podcast, though? That's the quiz for
127.
You. All right, Jesse's got it. Jesse's probably.
I was going to say 133.
I ruined it for you.
I wrote it in your note. See, you were going to say 133, and it would have been a cheeky thing to say.
Yeah,
because you know we haven't done 133.
That's just way too many
regular episodes. Perhaps if you add up all the bonus episodes,
we've got a lot of cheek.
Are available in the feed, or if you'd like to sort by them on the website, you can.
God, we have so many episodes. How did that happen?
Just dogged work. Keeping up the hard work in the keeping up that podcasting
126 groove. Episodes.
Yeah. Varying degrees of quality.
Some of them are really good.
Some of them are fantastic. Some of them are not. We're not going to give you clues, though. You've got to discover that on your own journey through the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's a box of chocolates.
Play some strawberry. Star Trek Discovery on that shit. I mixed Star Trek and Discovery together, and I got strawberry.
Star Trek Strawberry.
Star Trek Strawberries.
All right.
The USS Strawberry. I like that. That's pretty good. That's cute.
For new listeners.
Would you ride on the USS Strawberry?
What? Like a spaceship named Strawberry?
What about the USS Snozberries?
Would it be named after Daryl Strawberry?
No.
Or would it be named after Strawberry Nesquik?
I don't know.
Of Nesquik?
I think you're focusing on the wrong thing here.
What about the USS Snozberry?
That's just ridiculous.
All right. Look.
Boysenberry?
Look, there's going to be an influx of...
Nobody eats boysenberry outside of yogurt.
Lots of new listeners this week, no doubt, so...
no doubt.
We're misleading them with all this talk of strawberries and snozberries and fantastical situations where we live on a starship.
That's a hopeful attitude you have there about all the new listeners.
I guarantee you. Tons of new listeners coming in. And just to explain what the format of the show is, right?
Mm. We talk about Star Trek.
We will be talking about this episode of Star Trek. We'll divide it into three sections. There will be an initial section.
The first section is us describing the format of the podcast.
No, not generally speaking. No, but the first section does allow for introducing various topics before we get into the episode. But we will be discussing the episode. And then in the second episode, in the second section, we will continue discussing the episode. And then we will conclude talking about the episode in the third section.
Are we going to do that thing where we have breaks in between?
Yes, we all have breaks. We've been implementing some order.
I'm familiar with this.
Onto this podcast. We haven't yet gotten more order within each segment. So that business set aside for our new users. And as a reminder
users.
I used to be, I'm not going to, I don't want to start this argument. Now I used to be a sysop, sysop of a BBS. So I do tend to think of sysop my audience as users.
Sysop is more fun to say, but
I always said sysop, even if I freely admit that sysop makes more sense. If I'm going to say that GIF is pronounced GIF and not JIF, for the reasons that should be obvious, I also have to agree that sysop would be the sensible way as opposed to sysop.
But sysop,
I want to be consistent in my opinions.
Sysop, that sounds like sopwith. It sounds
digital
like
vernacular. Sopwith. Sopwith, that was a good game.
Yeah, on the was that CGA? That was below EGA.
It was CGA. That was a CGA game.
Those four color monitors.
If you got too quick a computer, you couldn't
Super
play it.
Oh yeah, because it went by the clock speed.
It went by
something.
The clock speed.
So
right.
They just go fast as shit.
All right. But a reminder: this is not. It's got old computers. It's got 286s.
Sunday,
I had a Tandy 1000. Tandy 1000.
It's
Radio
got
Shack's
Star
computer.
Trek. That's what this is. And so let's get into it. Star Trek Picard. Monsters. What'd you think about the monsters in this episode?
The monsters.
I'm not laughing. This may be my favorite episode of the season.
I like that they had Tom from Bridget Jones's Diary playing Jean-Luc Picard's father.
Okay. See? Huh. See, Dan is that,
see, I never
that's
saw
a
that
genre
movie.
Joke there. Because we are a sci-fi affiliated podcast.
You saw what I was
not
doing.
Not the network,
you
just
saw
the
what
genre.
I was doing there.
Talking about a science fiction television program. And James Callis, the special guest this week,
Tom from Bridget Jones's Diary.
James Callis, who famously in the sci-fi genre played Gaius Baltar on Ron Moore's reimagining of Battlestar Galactica back in the mid-2000s. A brilliant show.
Ron Moore, who was part of the Star Trek universe.
Yes,
right?
He wrote for TNG and Deep Space Nine, briefly for Voyager. He did the some of the TNG movies. James Callis will be known to much of our audience, probably primarily for his role as Gaius Baltar. I will concede, however, that for many folks, it could also be, what was the character's name from Bridget Jones's Diary?
Tom.
Tom. Mm. Was that is that T-O-M Tom or is it a T-H-O-M?
I mean, who does
some people do that shit, man.
T-H-O-M.
I don't know. I'm just allowing for the possibility.
It's just Tom. Are you
trying to keep an open mind about this?
Is it Tom with an E?
Well, I don't think it's as common like J-O-N and J-O-H-N for John and John, because one...
Well, certainly not.
Because one would imply Jonathan and the other doesn't imply Jonathan, but you could spell it as Jonathan if you wanted.
J-O-N generally... You should never imply Jonathan.
Well, it happens from time to time. My John.
Oh, that's right. That's
my name is
dude.
My first name.
Oh,
is
yes,
John.
Yes,
right.
Your first name is.
It's
John.
Not. It's not. I'm not talking about my bathroom. I'm not talking about some John who belongs
my John.
To my John who belongs to me. That's nice.
You're one of those
person named John that
serial killer people that like goes by your middle name.
Yeah, exactly. It's my parents' fault, so they wanted me to be the serial killer.
But anyway,
I'm just trying to live up to them.
You do have an H.
C. Everett Koop.
I have a.
You have an H as opposed to John Arbuckle from Garfield, who doesn't have an H,
which would imply his name is Jonathan Arbuckle, I would think. But I have an H. Yes. And
is that the difference? Is it between John, which is a derivative of Johann? Is John has the H, and then if it's John with an O and no H, that's short for Jonathan. Is that the deal? Am I only learning this
Juan.
At this stage in my life?
That's my well, I have an excuse. I've lived with this name,
or
so
John.
I've had a lot to think about it. That's my experience. I did know a guy named Jonathan who spelled his name J-O-H-N, but that was the only John spelled
did he spell
like
his
that.
Name Jonathan that way?
Yeah, J-O-H-N-A-T-H, whatever.
That's fucked up.
Whatever, because you're like, I don't know if it's an O or an A.
Yeah, I don't know. So that was the only time that J-O-H-N was short for Jonathan, but every other time that...
Jonathan or Jonathan?
So Jonathan Archer off,
I think
would
we're getting
be
off
J-O-N.
Course. I would think so, but I could be wrong.
We are getting off course. I already said I like the episode, and I have a variety of comments to make.
Yeah, it's...
I want to sprinkle throughout this conversation. I don't want to like load them all up at front.
Okay, I just want to say it is Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. Joe Nathan.
Joe Nathan.
Yeah. John Arthur.
That's weird.
Archer, sorry.
Jonathan, Joe Nathan. Nathan Archer.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. Yeah. So you want to sprinkle some booblies out.
So you guys make some comments. I can't shoot my wad of comments right now.
Okay.
They will all be disjointed and disconnected from each other. And then I won't have any comments for later.
So his dad is a Starfleet mental health officer.
No, his dad wasn't a Starfleet. This is he's just okay.
No, I know, obviously. Yeah, I'm just being funny.
I what I enjoyed about the episode was this conceit, this fable conceit that's both it's a dreamlike hallucination that's using the construct of Picard getting a psych eval as like the one layer. Right. And then this like layer of interpreting his mother's mental illness through her fabulizing, her story making capabilities, and
it's like a classic characters in a coma kind of situation.
Yes, but done with a fun, interesting twist.
Yeah, yeah,
and for example, like when Talon gets in there, I like that it wasn't your typical, oh, now there's a mind maze and Talon has to like go do some like stuff. She just immediately goes to. Almost immediately finds the young Picard, right. And her main role is just to support him.
Yeah,
it's like that's all he needed was some support.
Yeah, when he started doing the whole Once Upon a Time thing, there was a woman with the queen. By the way, the queen with the red hair, which is
Beverly Crusher.
There's Beverly Crusher, which is not what I was thinking about, but there's also the other queen, the Borg Queen Jurati.
She doesn't have red hair.
She had a red dress. She has red hair in that.
She has blonde hair.
She has red hair in. She has red hair.
What the heck?
She is wearing a flamboyant red dress.
No, she has a red hair.
Wait, a red hair?
She has red hair.
Jurati is blonde, I think you'll find.
No, they just did it for that one episode.
She had a couple of pink hairs.
Maybe
I'm thinking of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
This is not the debate I expected to enter into. What color is Jurati's hair?
I think maybe I'm thinking of Scott Pilgrim versus
John
the World.
Dan Glaubitz.
You wonder if I've actually watched these episodes. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, she had red hair. So that's that. They were referring to Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Okay.
Who's the name?
I'm talking about when Picard was like the queen with the red hair.
Michael Cera's in that movie.
Yeah, but yes. Alison Pill played the one with the red hair. Michael Cera, right. So anyways, so I was thinking, are they going to give some kind of weird, super, you know, metaphorical fantasy for a split second? And they did. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to lead you into thinking it was going to be some fantasy fairy tale thing for just a second, right? And it also set up the vibe for the whole thing. So I was like, for half a second, I was like, oh, I hope this isn't like completely like out there and weird like that.
Measure many things in terms of fractions of seconds?
Yeah, if it's
what does a fraction of a second feel like?
If it's but an instant, yeah, it's
but an instant,
less than a second,
a moment,
yeah,
of just a fraction of a moment.
I mean, to certain creatures,
a wrinkle.
To certain creatures, a fraction of a second is not a small enough demarcation.
It's
not the resolution of time isn't high enough for
just
them.
Just a scotch of a moment.
But to us in this situation, I think when you're talking about how long you hold a thought for, because how long does one hold a thought for? You can't really put that into words.
You can hold a thought
I'm
for
sure
a
you could
lifetime.
Do some scientific testing, though.
Yeah, with some, like, fire neurons.
You could put it into numbers.
Put it into numbers.
Can't put it into words. Put it into numbers.
Many
winters. You can hold a thought for many winters.
So I like that they went... That whole fairy tale opening thing, it was just kind of to set whatever tone, and it was really just, you know.
And you saw what they were painting on the window.
They saw what they're painting. There's some weird demons.
And it was well portrayed.
Yeah.
The production design was clever.
Yeah, I was immediately like, felt good about it. When they introduced, when he started telling the story, I originally was like, oh, is this going to be kind of boring and stupid? But like immediately, I was like, oh, this is cool. I like this. And I guess they were doing a whole thing about, you know, there's demons on the wall, and that's supposed to be what she sees or something like that, because... I guess she's bipolar or schizophrenic.
In a world where monsters are real.
That they don't specify which mental illness she has, and I'm sure they did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm. She had the brain scrambling.
What we do in the shadows.
Yeah. So vampires having fun.
So basically, she's got something where she sees. They talked about how she has moments of darkness or whatever. What was he saying? Like, what was dad? Dad,
she's got some mental illness, but there's that whole other thing where there's like more to the story. When
okay, so dad card, or P dad or whatever you want to call him,
dad card,
dad Picard.
Yeah, he says your
mother Picard. His
name Cloud.
P dad.
Cloud Picard.
I said his P dad.
Cloud.
I want to call him P-Dad.
His name is Francois Picard.
Well, so he said, your mother suffered cycles of terrible darkness, and he goes, an irrational exhilaration. So yes, that would imply some kind of bipolar-ish something or other. Now,
Pierre Picard,
along with some fantastical, she appeared to be fearing real, like she felt there were things coming after.
Yeah, which is can be symptoms of bipolar. Most tends to be most associated with schizophrenia, but I think bipolar can have that too.
And it's interesting how they've handled this, I think, quite well in terms of nobody is blaming her. Nobody's blaming her for having a mental illness. And at one point, Talon says, Talon's like, your mother was not being chased by a monster. And then Picard Sr.
Dad
said,
card?
He was like, actually, no, she was. She like always was.
Yeah.
And which is a good way of pointing out that it doesn't matter if somebody's suffering from symptoms of a mental illness. They are real to that person.
Yeah.
They have a real effect on that person. That fear they're feeling is real.
She was running from whatever she was running from. She was actually running from that stuff.
And I couldn't believe I didn't even see that coming at all, that the demons were I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who saw that from the very start, that the demons were actually mental.
Well, I wondered, because you would see flashes of that in earlier episodes where he's having little visions, and I'm like, what the hell happened to his mom? Like, she's getting
my prediction was that and they've kind of done it halfway, is that they were bringing in some of Picard's or Patrick Stewart's real life experiences of having some guilt at not being able to help his mother out more from his abusive father. And so they have a touch of that here, in that there is clearly some guilt.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure about like the guilt. I don't know. I'm not going to judge someone for what guilt they feel, because guilt is cunning, and it can make people feel bad for no reason.
Well, especially
at all.
if it's engendered in a child, you
right?
Know,
but why would, what reason did J-Card have for like feeling
J-Card
feeling? Yeah,
which one is that?
That's Jean-Luc.
What is his dad's name?
BQ and
his dad's name is P-Dad.
Is it like Jean-Baptiste Picard?
So, I don't remember his name. I don't think it's that.
Maybe I'll take the time and look it up.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. I derailed
you. You were talking about the guilt.
The guilt. What did he feel guilty for? Because I mean, I guess his foot fell in the thing and he couldn't help her.
That's not the guilt.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, what the guilt was, because they didn't really express it.
I suggest let's rewind and back up just for a second to sort of lay out exactly what's going on here. I think the way we're supposed to interpret these multi-layered metaphorical events that we're seeing is that Picard's mom had some pretty significant mental illness. Point number one. Point number two, quite probably they moved out to Chateau Picard in the first place, maybe because of her mental illness. Maybe it was a way, it was trying to keep her in a safer area. And what they're not 100% clear on with Picard's dad is, you know, Picard's calling him a monster, and Picard's dad is saying like, well, maybe, but not in the way you think. We get the impression that Picard's dad was doing things like locking his mom up in rooms for her own safety.
Yeah, definitely.
And having to wrestle her around and basically imprison her because she was going to get lost in the catacombs or other things. And the implication is that this is not the first time he's had to deal with this. So you can see Picard as a child interpreting that as abuse, when he doesn't understand that what his mother is dealing with is mental illness. But I think the other layer there is the type of guilt that I think anyone can have, but certainly a child can have, when somebody is dealing with something that you have no control over. You have no influence over. You can't, even if you there's no way you could help them. That doesn't mean you don't feel bad because you lack the power.
Right. And that's
them.
What I was figured. It was something to that effect where he just feels guilt because that's how guilt works a lot of times. But I don't know. There wasn't an actual origin moment where he's like, tried to specifically help her and it failed.
And they show him like hanging out by the door where she's locked in and pounding on it. And he's not opening it for her. Right. So, yeah.
It's interesting that his dad to him is this
Gaius Baltar,
is this mental health, is a psychologist figure in his psyche.
Right.
Is his dad an actual psychologist?
No, probably not. He definitely wasn't in Starfleet.
Picard
was saying something like, I didn't know Starfleet had psychologists like you anymore. They didn't really go too deep into that line. I guess I wasn't sure really what they were going for.
Not entirely sure either. There was a couple things in there that were a little confusing, and I think maybe he meant that it's not usual to have a human psychologist because they normally
humans are terrible.
It's usually got to be a beta Zed or a bird person.
Bird person.
Yeah, like on Lower Decks they have the Dr. Migley-Moo. Yeah, Migley-Moo.
The bird person.
Yeah.
And physical doctors are cat people.
Yes, physical doctors are all Cajuns.
Like Beverly Crusher.
And Beverly Crusher is
She's a cat person.
She is a cat person.
Yeah, she dances and jumps around like a cat.
And has sex with ghosts.
Yeah, that's
just
pretty
like cool. Cats do every night when they're all like meow, meow, meow. All night long.
So
then they run back and forth for no reason.
So I feel really silly for not having, because they gave so many clues that the demon, that the bad guy was mental illness or whatever you want to call it. The antagonist, because they talked about how, you know, Picard talked to Renee, you know, and is talking to Renee, you know, like my mother. They referenced her having problems with you know, depression and stuff before, and yeah. It's like they show these crazy scenes. They had this monster that looked like a Reman, but you know it wasn't gonna be like a Reman type thing. It was, you know, and then she got dragged out like a horror movie. Like, that's not gonna happen in Star Trek.
I like this resolution to this part of the story, because to me, I was going in a different direction, which was, again, based off of Patrick Stewart's real life situation where a physically abusive father and the son wasn't old enough to be able to protect the mother kind of situation.
I thought that's what
they were doing. And when he was saying like that she struggled and there's other things that she did. And I thought that those were her being dragged away and being grabbed by monsters were metaphors for being physically abused by her partner.
Right. And I'm once again, not here to judge anyone's reason for guilt, but I could see more feeling guilty for not being able to protect someone.
Yes.
Physically, mentally, I don't know. But I mean, you know, there's really no way to judge.
Yeah,
how people are going to feel about things.
How about this? And I have no clever segue other than to say that it's time for a break.
Poo-poo time.
I know. It sounds crazy that it was already
time. It's time for poo-poo.
There's never
enough time for
poo-poo. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll regroup.
Easy there.
And then when we get back, we'll continue this. We'll continue this discussion. All right. We will be right back. All right, guess what? We're back.
We're back. So
we have returned from our first break. As a reminder, this is our second break. Then there will be one more, you know, break between the breaks, and then we'll have our third break, and that'll be the concluding break.
Yep. And then we'll have the moment where we talk about the format some more.
Yes.
And
because like we start with there's a little bit of custom music composed by Dan
Custer,
and then we have a clip. Then we have a clip from the show, and then we have the first break, which is concluded, and then we have this break, and then the third break, which ends with a bonus funny clip from the show,
which
sometimes is very difficult to find because some shows like Discovery don't offer a lot of opportunity for humor. Sometimes.
So speaking of Renee and they were talking about how Renee experiences a melancholy. So she's just got sort of a more general depression. And it made me wonder what the deal is. If you've got a family member who's seeing like hallucinations, getting hallucinations, what does that mean for the other family member that's depressed? Are they related or is that other
probably
person?
Probably not, because his mother probably isn't a Picard by birth.
So. Yeah. His mom married into.
Wait, no. Yeah. No, but that means Renee.
Picard's father was Picard.
Right, but Renee was their...
That actor's
their ancestor from the Picard side, because her last name is Picard.
So from the Picard side. That's interesting. So it just so happens that she felt...
And she's not a direct descendant. She's not... Jean-Luc Picard is not a direct descendant of Renee. He referred to her as a distant cousin.
Right. So she feels some depression, and then there's a lot of mental illness in that sort of family tree going on.
Sure. Seems like it.
It's Europe, man.
But it's another example of how this season has centered around mental illness in some ways, even when we didn't maybe initially realize it. But a lot of these things harken back to Picard's mother situation and, of course, the focus on Renee. And Picard himself talks. Remember how upset he was when Talon told him she was spying and like recording Renee's psychotherapy sessions? And Picard's like, that's private.
Yeah.
He's sensitive to this. And
maybe Q is having some issues too.
Well, oh.
that was a
sincere reaction. That was a very sincere reaction. I apologize.
Well, I was just
I apologize for being so sincere. Well, I do try to avoid it during the course of recording this podcast.
Kind of derails what, like, I was reading and was wondering what happens if you like have bipolar in your family. Does that mean that someone else is likely to have bipolar, or are they more likely to even have just depression? And it seems like that's the case, because
which one?
If you have bipolar, you're at increased risk for your relatives to be bipolar, but also depression, apparently, because according to...
It seems like it carries
NIH.gov says patients with schizophrenia...
The National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland.
It says patients with schizophrenia are at an increased risk for the development of depression. So,
but that's schizophrenia, not bipolar.
Yeah, but it also says, there's analysis on WebMD, it says first degree relatives of people with either schizophrenia or bipolar disorder were at increased risk for both of these conditions. Does that mean if you have bipolar, you're at risk for bipolar and schizophrenia? Or does that mean if you have bipolar, you're at risk for bipolar, if you have schizophrenia, you're just... I don't know, it's hard to say, but it seems like bipolar and schizophrenia might be related in some way. Rethink.org says if you have a mental illness, you might be worried that your children or siblings will develop the same or mental illness. Most people with mental illness do not have relatives with the same illness, but research does suggest that mental illness can run in families. I don't even know what that one's getting at.
That doesn't make any sense.
That was rethink.com
or .org.
.org. Check out unthink.org and see what they say about unthink. This topic. Yeah, unthink.
Okay.
If you type in anything, it's great. It just responds, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
So it's like, it's not even a thing to worry about.
Don't even worry about it. Yeah, unfortunately. So, unthink.org is up for grabs if we want to play a funny joke and make it like a rethink.
Yeah, but that's one of those funny jokes that involves money and a website registration.
Yeah.
And then you got to do like a forwarding thing that takes longer than
should. And you got to hire security and you got to do all sorts of shit.
You
got to hire security. You got to hang out and guard
your website. I got my own security.
Website.
Man.
It's in your butt.
Back to my butt again.
You got security in your butt when you have to let one loose.
What are you getting at, sir?
Well, I think you know.
All right. Okay. Let's ease it back into the business.
The opening scene, though, with Picard and with Jay Picard and Dad Picard. It was kind of interesting. He was Jean-Luc Picard. Jean-Luc. I shouldn't call him J-Card. I should just call him Jean-Luc. Jean-Luc.
The Cap.
Okay.
The Cap. Or call him the Cap.
People will follow him. The Cap'n. We call him Cap'n with an apostrophe.
Cap'n.
C-A-P apostrophe Cap'n.
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 He was funny. He was strangely...
Charles Trip Tucker III.
He was strangely curmudgeonly in that opening scene with Dad Picard. He was all like... Yeah, he asked him if he knew any good jokes, and Picard just made this kind of face.
Yeah, it's like, why are you asking?
And he's
this
like,
question?
And then he goes,
everybody knows the
answer. Well, he's like 100 years old.
And he's like, tell me a story. Yeah. And he's like, I beg your pardon. And he's like, a story? Like a kid's story, like a children's story, any kind of story. It can be a simple exercise to help with opening your mind. And he just goes, I wouldn't know where to begin. Just kind of like, ah, fuck you. That was basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was in.
Yeah, he didn't like.
He was like really. He was really impatient, and it was kind of like strangely out of character for Picard.
Well, it was in character in the context.
He didn't get along with his dad.
To me, the vibe that scene was giving off was organization mandated psychological evaluation, like your annual psychological evaluation, or like when the police detective
why I had a uniform
fires their weapon on duty, and so they have to take their psych eval after that. That was the vibe I was getting, where Picard was like, let's go through this.
Yeah, because they're
do this whole thing, analyze me, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they go through the psych eval because you're wondering why they're attacking poop.
Right?
Because they shot their gun on duty.
Okay. All right.
Dude.
For new listeners, this is about the level you can expect. But consistent. We are consistent. We put out content every week.
And there's
that's got to count for something.
There will
right?
be more.
Okay, but that's the vibe I was getting.
Is that
from that scene?
Is that what?
Is that cop vibe that you work for the military or whatever, and you're like, you got to get a psych eval because something happened.
It's the usual.
And the person is resistant, or it's their annual thing, whatever. And they're just like, all right, let's go through the thing. And then the gimmick, of course, in the regular old television show is that then they accidentally. That turns out the psychiatrist they're talking to is really good and figures out a way to open them up. They were going through that process, but the clever twist on it is that first of all, that this is a mental hallucination or dream state to begin with. So it's already surreal and Picard is really talking to himself, but then the added twist of, oh, he's talking to himself, but it's his dad. Yeah. And then the meta added twist that his dad is played by Gaius Baltar.
That, I like that they take, aspects of Picard's character in TNG and kind of extend it. Like, for example, you know, from the very first episode, Picard was asking Riker to be like, look, if there's any kind of kids around and anyone trying to poke at my emotions, like, just get in the way. I can't deal with that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you're just like, hold that quirky Picard. It's so quirky and weird. He's a captain of a ship, but he can't handle a child, you know? And he can't handle
he had a rough childhood.
And he can't navigate the world of romance and stuff. And yeah,
His mom was crazy. Because he's perpetually untethered in the ways of the heart.
Exactly. Precisely. Who said that?
Baltar
says that.
Right. So, yeah, they directly say in the show, it's like, you have a fucked up ability to connect with people. And that, like, that's taking his character from TNG and extending it and giving it more depth. A depth that they probably didn't even intend to go that way when they made his character in TNG.
He can be the captain, he can be the father figure.
His parents were whack.
He has trouble trouble opening up and being anything. He can reflect what people want. He doesn't want to be a beacon of his insides. If that makes any sense.
In this episode or in this show, they're running with that idea that they
are they running with the devil?
No. They prob
You're familiar with that song?
Yes, I am.
That's Van Halen.
Yeah, it's a Van Halen song.
Yes, you're right. So associations, right. Free association. Let's just say whatever comes to our mind.
It's
a
podcast, baby.
Most of their songs are not about vans, but you'll see their logo painted on many
just because vans. Just because you can associate things doesn't mean they're jokes.
I didn't say they were. They could be.
Are you
humorous combinations of words?
Do you think this is funny? Is this a joke?
So, not everything has to have a joke set up punchline.
No,
structure.
Not everything. But if you're just gonna like associate words for no reason, what's the purpose behind it?
The purpose is just a sort of whimsy.
It's whimsy.
Some people are just looking for a wee bit of whimsy in their life.
You sound old.
We are old. It's Dan's birthday today.
Oh man. Fuck me.
Happy birthday. But
Happy birthday,
so I'm just saying people are doing stuff around the house, listening to the podcast, they're vacuuming and stuff, and they would have been a bit whimsy in their ear.
Okay.
Star Trek flavored whimsy.
Well,
we say like Gok and Klingon and, you know,
think
stuff like
about,
that.
Think about this with how Picard's character, how direction they've taken in the show versus how it was written in TNG. Do you think in TNG they had all that in mind about trauma and stuff about Picard, or they just think it was kind of adorable to make this powerful man weak in this respect?
In season one, probably just adorable. Yeah. Later on, I'm sure they had some inklings of whatever, you know, some imagined backgrounds those types of characters often have some form of trauma, whether it's directly to themselves or to a family member or something like that, that results in a stoic personality, which I probably a fair number of good leaders
have.
Well, it's kind of like they talk about the stand-up comics always, not always, but frequently have all fucked up lives.
Yeah, they do.
And then so they're like, now I can see the world for what it is and I can make jokes about it.
Speaking of backstories, that made me think of Mad Max Fury Road. And I'm guessing they probably did this in the other Mad Maxes, but I know they did in Fury Road, where they basically every person who had a part had to like create their own backstory and like their own They would have there'd be items and things.
That's why everybody's a fucking character.
Yeah, like their job was to make their own backstories and shit. And like all the items had stories behind all it. It's like, I think people were encouraged to make their own things or
like
something.
Like the guy with a guitar.
Yeah, I think it was everyone had their own sort of shit they brought to the table, which is why it tells such a story without much dialogue.
That's one of the craziest movies I've ever seen. I love that movie.
There's some weird stilt people it's really awesome movie. Speaking of Klingons, didn't you, that neural oscillator looks like some kind of Klingon throwing weapon. The neural oscillator, the one where Teresa walked in on that terrifying scene that must have, when she was like, "You walking at me like a serial killer," I'm like, that's
I love that.
But he really was totally right, because I was like, yeah, he kind of is. Like, right at that moment, I was in Teresa's mind at that moment, and I was just like, that would be fucking terrifying.
This whole
their eyes are all behind their head, it's all white, and all this creepy alien shit looking shit's going on. That's
this whole
up.
Episode has multiple examples. Thanks for bringing that up, because there are multiple examples of this episode of the producers, writers, whoever, doing that great thing where they I don't know what the term for it is, but they basically call out the things that in the show that are often meta things called out. For example, in that scene when he's like, "Oh wait, I just want to tell you something," and she's straight up like, "You look like a serial killer," because everyone does that and nobody says that. They're just like, "What is it?" She called him out on that. And then later in the episode, of course, Picard gets called out for beaming in, stuff like that, because everyone's like, why don't people see stuff on security cameras? Why are these like time travelers just like wandering around San Francisco in Star Trek 4 and nobody notices that?
Well, they didn't have security cameras.
Well, and this one is like, no, they're getting fucking arrested by the FBI for that shit.
Yeah. Nowadays we have security.
Me and Girardi is on security cameras smashing shit. So I liked that it wasn't like they weren't on the nose about it, but it's that kind of thing where they're not just telling us the regular old cliched story. They're adding on the whole like, what if we paid attention to the fact that obviously if people are like doing futuristic shit, wandering around beaming in places and doing other strange business, that maybe somebody's going to notice that in the 21st century.
Or that crazy car chase they did a couple episodes back.
Yes.
There was seemingly no repercussions from that.
When
those police probably called the FBI, because they called the X-Files, because that guy's from the X-Files. But the actor, I think it's Jay Carnes, something like that. He was on an episode of Voyager. He was on the episode Relativity, which is a fifth season episode. He plays an officer.
Right, because we were totally watching that. We were like, wait, who is that guy? I've seen that guy before.
I don't know if this is quite the same as what you're talking about pointing those things out, but it reminded me of when Rios also said to Teresa, like, first off, I'm human. And she goes, well, when someone has to convince you they're human, you shouldn't have brought them around your kid.
That's a little like that, too. She kept bringing that up. It's like, I'm talking about, like, I'm feeling guilty about bringing this guy around her kid.
Well, one of the things that they did not mention that they just kind of let happen that I thought was kind of jarring was, Teresa had just expressed that she's having trouble trusting Rios, but she's kind of coming around.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, it's because he's really cute.
Yeah, that. But
he's got that scraggly beard.
But him abducting her and her child into a spaceship is not good for building trust. Like when he's like, "I got something to show you," and then they transport onto the fucking ship, and like. And with the kid and
Encounters that people have had over the past century, like not actually aliens, they're just time travelers from the future, and
they're all leads or co-stars on Star Trek TV shows.
So I'm just saying,
like Kirk going back.
I'm just saying,
Edith Keeler. Guy was always going.
I'm just
back
saying, if you're gonna bring someone onto your ship and they don't know about this kind of stuff, you say, "Hey, would you like to see my ship?" If you just take them there, that's an.
He did ask if they wanted to see something cool,
but this
and was, the ship is
that's
cool.
Sketchy.
This was it. Was it was an intrusion.
I respect that this is a semantic argument, but I just want to toss it out there so the audience recognizes that we are aware. That he did ask if they want to see something cool.
I think that was a breach of trust on Rios's part.
I don't personally disagree.
I think that was an invasion. Yeah. You don't just transport somebody over to your ship with their kid, without saying like, "Hey, check out my ship."
We know that Rios is okay, but they don't know that.
They don't know that, right? She hasn't fully trusted him yet. That's not how you convince her to trust you. You know, I don't know. Luckily she dug it.
What I most appreciate about this, Dan,
I think she's in.
Is while most of the rest of the internet is arguing over
the spotlight.
Don't even bring up the whole spotlight business. check Twitter or Facebook if you want to hear about the spotlight business. Jesus. Anyway, no. You've gotten me distracted with all that spotlight business and band business. No, most of the internet, when it comes to Rios, is discussing just how smart it was to expose Teresa and her son, who are from the present day, into future tech and the problems with the timeline that could cause and the problem that's going to cause for the plot. Like, all that discussion is around there. Your concern is about consent, which I think is a more interesting thing to be concerned about than
kid dropped his spaceship.
He just took it for granted that Teresa and her son would be cool with this just because he said, quite rightly,
do you want to see something cool?
Do you want to see something
cool? I thought he was going to bring out like a cool like animal balloon or something, you know? But no, he's going to take him on the ship. When you say how smart Rio is, you weren't saying how smart he is as if he is.
No. It's a bad decision.
Bad decision, right.
Now,
but that's what happened in Star Trek 4, though.
Yeah, to me, I'm not bothered by it because they're doing a whole Star Trek 4 riff. They even have that direct quote from Star Trek 4 where Rio says, she's like, are you from outer space? And he's like, no, I'm from Chile.
Right.
Yeah.
I
just work in space.
He's like, I'm from Iowa.
Yeah. Because Kirk says that to Gillian Taylor in Star Trek 4. She's like, are you a spaceman or whatever? And he's like, are you from? He's like, I'm from outer space. He's like, no, I'm from Iowa.
I'm from Iowa.
I just work in outer space.
Iowa.
And they made the kid a spaceman. He was wearing a spaceman.
Yes.
I think they did that
extra vehicular activity suit on.
Vehicular activity, a VAS suit?
EVA suit.
You said vehicular activity.
Extra vehicular.
Oh, extra vehicular activity. EVA.
When you leave your vehicle.
So how about those crazy Romulan earphones that Talon was wearing when she was zapping into
her Picard's Bluetooth earpiece?
Yeah,
Romulan earpiece. Bluetooth neural link.
Which I think those ears were a little... I mean, how much bigger are Romulan ears than human ears? It so seemed like
they're
a little
big, ornament.
You know, you want to... If it's a one-size-fits-all... You want to make it a little bit
but they
bigger.
Wouldn't have to be because they could just replicate it to whatever size they want, and then when they're done they throw in the garbage to make it replicate something else in the future.
Maybe, but this is 21st century. I'm sure they have
limitations.
Of course. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what she's Romulan, but she's part of this whole
the Watcher people.
Yeah, the what do they call them? The supervisors. I want to talk to your supervisor. Where's your manager?
So when
I've got a problem with the way you're supervising.
Speaking of her ears, I think Talon could have just told Jean-Luc about her ears instead of breaking the ear spell she had on, because she casted the ears. She cast like an ear spell. She cast that spell.
Yeah. I suppose that is a reasonable way to look at it.
And the whole time he kept saying, like, Laris, Laris, Laris. And she's like, who is this Laris person?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, she would have known it's a Romulan name.
Yeah. But, so she.
She's just keeping, you know, she's conservative in terms of.
She's got an American accent.
So she broke her ear spell.
Except Orla Brady's Irish accent does come out rather frequently.
It comes out, but it's like it's an Irish person doing an American accent.
So I think it's wonderful.
She broke her ear spell and now it needs like an 8-hour cooldown or whatever. Yeah. Like, why eight Earth hours. Why couldn't she just tell him? I think Picard would have believed her. And you notice Picard's still in denial about his fucking, he had this major mental breakthrough and he's still in denial about the whole thing. He's like, that doesn't matter now.
I think he was the same way. If you're talking about at the end where he's working through it. I don't think he immediately has the answer, but in his discussion with Talon, he's working through the idea that maybe the lesson is indeed that he should be worrying less about himself and worrying more about Q and what, you know, interpreting Q's actions and specifically interpreting how Q's actions are uncharacteristic for Q and what clues there are that would help move things along, whatever those things are.
Well, let's see. You're talking about Q. So,
because Q's got a plan. Q needs some help, it seems. And Picard is coming to realize that. And we don't know exactly how all the pieces fit together.
Which is why I think I was bringing up in a past episode how this has been more. It's more been like Q fucking with Picard and teaching Picard things. Now it's more Picard versus Q. And Usher's like, well, maybe not. But some evidence to say that maybe it is because this is the first time Q has actually had real problems. He did get stripped of his powers in TNG, but he was still just like,
had that friend who was trying to commit suicide.
But he was still fun-loving Q, like, oh, I'll find a way out of this. Yeah, I'll find out my way out of this trick.
Wearing sombreros and playing trumpets.
Yeah, so he was still just kind of like, he wasn't fazed. But he's actually, like, when he snapped when he snapped his fingers when Renee was reading the Pallid Sun.
Right, yeah.
And he was all freaked. He's like,
what he slapped Picard and looked kind of freaked out when he slapped Picard.
So this would imply that Q is not here to fuck with Picard.
He's got a time limit.
So now the question though is PQ.
Maybe it's like the Q Continuum version of Supermarket Dash. What was that show called? You know, where you got like 1 minute, you got like a cart and 1 minute, and you could as many groceries you could bring.
I always
the cart,
wanted to do that.
You got to keep them.
I always wanted to do that cable, at Toys R Us. I always thought of grabbing all the video games, all the Nintendo games.
But those were back behind the thing. Would you just grab all those tickets?
Yeah, you grab all those tickets.
You used to have to grab the tickets and then hand it to the guy in the cage, and the guy would get the video game for you.
So
when he damn well felt like it,
right? Well, I'm sure there was a way to do it. So it's either then seems like it would be either Q versus Picard, or Q is like genuinely trying to get help from Picard.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing that they're moving back in that direction, because one thing that I've had a little bit of difficulty with is Picard immediately assuming that Q is up to something malicious when his last major encounter with Q was not malicious. In fact, his last two encounters with Q were Tapestry and All Good Things, really, right? And in Tapestry, Q was fucking with him and trolling him a little bit, but Picard learned a life lesson, learned an important... He became a better person because of his experience in Tapestry with Q. And same thing with All Good Things, where Picard grew as a person and he even said he had to thank Q.
It grows.
But Picard even said here that there's no better teacher than one's enemy.
Yes.
So he still looks at Q as this kind of like...
He's an adversary. Adversary.
And I understand that. It's just, to me, it's like the vibe should be slightly more Picard. Picard should... I think he's there now, but I think he previously should have been like, look, something's up with Q, and Q has been cool with me, and he hasn't bothered me in a long time, and he helped me out a couple times.
It's been a while. Yeah.
He's been a dickhead a bunch of times. But he has legitimately, the last couple times I saw him, he helped me out.
He was messing with those other shows.
So maybe something. Now, it's not helped by the fact that Q is always like dealing in riddles too, because Q, it's not like Q came back and is like, Picard, quick, you have to come back to the future. It's your kids, Picard, your kids. So they become assholes. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll go
to... The second break.
This is the conclusion of the second break for new listeners.
The second segment.
And we'll take a break here, and then we will be starting our third break, which will be the concluding conversation, and then some administrative information, then a bonus clip. It's not a bonus clip because it's every episode.
I could have made a half a point.
So it's not a bonus clip. Yeah, but you can make it when we get back from the break.
I could have made 3 points.
How many half seconds? How many fractions of a second did I waste?
It depends on what fraction.
A moment.
Informing our new audience members of
fraction
our format.
Fraction of a second is a reasonable measurement of time for someone like us.
But a wink of a moment.
For an ant? Maybe not. An ant probably thinks.
Ant?
I said an ant.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You didn't do anything wrong.
So an ant, less than a second, it might want to break them down into smaller.
An ant probably doesn't have the same kind of memory.
A fraction of a second. 6/4, I guess, is technically a fraction of a second, but a fraction, less
one
than...
And a half seconds.
But it's easier
if you
to
don't have a memory, you don't have time.
It's easier to say.
You could also say three.
It's easier to say fraction of a second than it is to say greater than one, greater than zero, and less than one.
Well, oh man,
the show is about time travel, and we're certainly moving very slowly.
We are
time
in this stage. Okay,
so we will be back in just a moment. See you then.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
All right, we have returned.
So
we've returned. We've resolved all this time business, and we are back to the podcast.
I don't think
business.
There's been anything resolved.
Back I'm declaring it resolved.
on the subject of Q, Jean-Luc straight up says, "I always filed Q as unknowable." Now this has some implications. This means Picard always thought of Q as mystical, like a literal god.
Sure.
Not some kind of weird alien. He always thought of Q as a god. When you say something
when
is
you
unknowable,
say unknowable, that's...
Yeah, it's
that's
like mysticism, basically. So, yeah, totally. Which doesn't... I don't know if he meant it that way, or if he just meant it like, Q is beyond what my brain is capable of
understanding.
I don't
think he meant it in a spiritual sense.
Well, not spirit... No, I'm not saying... Okay, well...
I'm sure he would... not to speak for Picard. I don't want to speak for this fictional character. I presume, however,
we have to remind ourselves
from the collected information we have of Picard, that he would not, and specifically with Q in particular, would not consider him a god. However, I do think that he can square the difference between being quote unquote a mystical force of something as opposed to a highly intelligent, very powerful, multidimensional being that can do crazy stuff. So in effect, you don't know exactly what his deal is going to be.
So you're saying Q is just a multidimensional. It's beyond the understanding of Picard's brain, but it doesn't mean it's unknowable.
And that is it's a good attitude to have, to be like, just because I don't understand something and may never understand something does not mean.
Well, it's the reason there are discoveries made at all is because you entertain some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And just because it hasn't been proven doesn't mean it can't be proven. And it's easy to say, well, it's never been proven, so why bother? But you gotta just take that risk sometime, and maybe I'll never prove this. But you would only that's how discoveries are made.
But you would only take that risk in the context of some clues leading in one direction. And guess what? If you're dealing with Q, well, you've got some clues at least saying, okay, there's clearly something here worth investigating.
Yeah, there's something worth investigating.
We might not know, as opposed to you could just make up some other complete bullshit and have no reason to think that, and just pretend like it exists or not. But with Q, he's there and talking and slapping people in the face and talking to people in diners and handing out clever business cards. That's somebody you've got to...
Experimental medicine.
That's somebody you got to investigate.
Somebody you got to investigate.
Snapping fingers.
This whole theme of, at the beginning, when they showed that weird rotating star thing, right?
The little holographic sample star.
But then later when they were in the
psychotherapy device.
When they were in that labyrinth, catacombs, whatever shit. When they were in that basement of the Chateau Picard, they had a drawing of that same thing.
I did not see.
I think.
Oh, that drawing. Yeah.
Now, wasn't that the same thing?
It looked like it. It was
in the basement.
The color was a little different.
It wasn't in the glass atrium.
It was in his notebook.
Because I know they were painting some galaxies and some other stuff.
No, there was a note, like a notebook.
It was in his notebook.
It was like a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
So is that what that was?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering.
I didn't think about that either.
What was it? Fucking blowing my mind.
It's blowing my mind right now. This is the tunnels.
You're killing me, Smalls.
They brought it around when they were talking about when Picard said the tunnels, don't go, the thousand ways to die. They said it in reference to a thousand ways. Hey, do you remember that 6 million ways to die? Choose one.
What? No. What are you talking about?
6 million ways to die. Choose one.
Is it a song?
Yeah.
Who's it by?
It's by Cutty Ranks. It's not a joke. It sounded like I was making a joke.
It didn't sound like a joke. It sounded like a fact.
I just didn't
know how to receive or react to that
Cutty
fact.
Ranks?
As opposed to Shabba Ranks, I guess.
Sounds like, some kind of
dancehall
jank.
I just thought of that when they said there's a thousand ways to die, but no one gets that reference, so it doesn't matter.
But there might be people in the audience that will get it.
Maybe, but
those people will be totally feeling good right now.
Somebody's going to get
that.
Somebody's going to get it.
They're going to be like, this podcast knows what's up.
Or at least that one guy on this podcast.
Because I don't
talk. Two other guys are fucking uncultured morons.
I don't talk down to my audience. It's my audience.
My audience.
It's mine. You're mine. You're mine now.
My audience doesn't get talked down to.
Your soul is mine. So, okay. So he says there's...
Wait, did you just sneak into your soul is mine? Is that a contractual sort of thing?
Yeah, well, you didn't say no.
I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about the people listening.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no one said no, so... When they said a thousand ways to die, Picard says, talking about tunnels, then there was that drawing of that sketch of that star thing. Was that supposed to...
The drawing of the sketch of the star.
Was that supposed to be a map of the basement? I didn't get the whole star imagery thing at the beginning with that hollow star.
I don't think it's that complicated.
I didn't get the drawing of the star. I didn't get what that was all about. And then did that have to do with a thousand ways to die? I didn't understand that whole... I know thousand ways to die, like Picard got his foot caught in the basement and could die because it's a dangerous place, but I wasn't understanding...
That was like a well or something.
But there was some kind of metaphorical thing going on that I just didn't pick up on. I don't know.
I didn't... Either.
Yeah.
Like, why was there that floating spinning star
thing?
It's
a bunch of, sort of surrealist imagery.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And,
and some of the model ships in Picard's imaginary ready room, which does not conform to any of his actual ready rooms that we've known him to have.
Yeah, right.
And some of those ships seem to be broken, which might be a reference to First Contact when he broke all his little ships.
So, I think that's definitely the case, because when you have a scene like that, that's your psyche. Every little item they put in there is going to represent something. Now, the star could be as simple as, well, he goes to the stars, but I feel like there was something more, and to me it looked like the sketch looked like the star, and then they were talking about it with a thousand ways to die, and it was confusing, but they also said there's something more coming that we haven't learned yet, but I don't think it's going to be related. I think they're going to move on from that, and I'm never going to know what that was all about. But yeah, that was those
thousands.
Damn
this show.
Those broken ships. Yeah, it was probably definitely.
At least one of them seemed broken.
Picard, blow up the damn ship. No.
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 Big ears.
What? Now cheers, I know. I know we're not right quite there yet. Most of this episode was focused on Picard. We spend a little time in his mind brain. And as I said before, it wasn't an episode long mind maze
exactly.
Talon has to go through. That actually was, you know, there's lots of episode after he wakes up. So he sort of resolves
that's
that bit.
Good.
That's
pretty
why, good. That's why I like that too. And originally having not seen any of the trailers or anything leading up to the season on the second episode, when they were in super evil, meanie man land, meanie person land.
We're talking about like,
what are you talking about?
Episode 2 of Picard.
Oh, you mean in this season?
Yeah. I was wondering, it's like, oh, are we going to spend the whole season in this place? And then you were like, no, I don't think so. And you're right. And I'm glad, because they moved on. Just like this episode.
Oh, you mean in the Confederation?
Yeah,
because they went back in
and
time.
Meanie boy.
What I was trying to express that I didn't do such a great job of is when they introduced the story. Once upon a time, there was a girl with a red hair and a queen boy. And like,
once upon
and
a time.
And yeah. And
you're,
so
you're about to break into song right there.
Once upon a time.
Once upon, a time.
Once upon a time.
Anyway,
once
upon a time. So you were saying.
So I was afraid it was going to be some weird, like really metaphorical, kind of like fairy tale.
Did you think it was
going to
be a season long move along home?
I thought it was going to an episode, a season long move along home.
Like you're in Picard's mind, but it's a game maze.
Essentially, I thought it was the whole episode is going to be what you said it was, which was like an entirely long, let's go through Picard's mind episode. And I'm glad
it
wasn't.
Have to solve Zelda style puzzles in order to advance to the next room.
Right, exactly. I'm glad it wasn't. It was a really good episode.
Get the special weapon to fight the bad guy.
Conceit
that I do enjoy, but we don't need it anymore.
Yeah. I need to calm down.
You had a little too much ginger beer today.
Ginger beer and Milky's.
Does it have caffeine?
Milky's
in it?
Are good.
Milky's strawberry.
Yeah, ginger beer doesn't have, it's got cane sugar.
Does
in
the
it.
Milky's have caffeine?
No, not I do have a Coke Zero, but I only drank a little of it. So I'm just hyped on something.
It's sugar.
It's all good.
Man.
It's all good.
It's needed the sugar.
Okay. So we don't, there's the Picard stuff. There's a little bit of the Rio stuff, which was cute and fun. There's a little bit of the Seven and Rafi stuff. They're actually doing more stuff. They're solving a problem. There's solving a mystery of what's going on with Jurati.
Very serious problem.
Yes, and Seven figures out that Jurati's doing some Borg business. There's that fun scene with Rafi complaining about the Jurati-Rios relationship.
Yeah.
And then they're doing the meta humor. Where
right.
Rafi's all like, oh, our relationship is cool. People want to hear about our relationship.
Yeah,
that was
funny.
It was hilarious. It's a big fuck you to the people in the audience who are like, man, I don't like women. I like it. sorry, it's aggravating. enjoy the program for whatever it is.
Right?
So I like that. Again, they're saying it right to the screen. It sort of falls into that category I was talking before about taking it that extra step of being like, all right, you're gonna complain about this. We're gonna head that off at the pass by just talking out loud about it. But. That all leads to the denouement of the episode, where they're trying to track down Jurati. Seven makes the connection between the
endorphins.
The Borg Queen's need for endorphins.
She threw a PBR on the ground.
And that's why she's singing songs and smashing winders.
Winders.
marching around
winders.
L.A.
She went to that band with that terrible... That club with a terrible band.
Oh, I wonder if that was
was Patrick Stewart's wife.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What's Susie Ozell?
I was going to say, I was going to say...
His wife is, like, younger than me.
Yeah, Sunny Ozell. Sunny Ozell.
I was going to say that it must have been someone famous, because they always get some kind of...
Yeah, she's got an album out now. I think you're coming out soon, so...
I didn't make any comments like
I
that.
I said it. I was
just,
the one
it was Jesse
said
it. Said
I thought she
I'm
was perfectly fine.
I thought it was fine.
I'm unskilled in reviewing... dive bar
but
lounge
I kinda,
acts.
But on my
I'm a snob but a musical snob.
But I also kind of like that song they played in the Bashir Our Man Bashir when they went to the 60s bar.
Yes.
That was like And the bass is like,
yeah, we talked about our
Amanda Sugar. It was terrible, but I loved it.
When did we tell you? It was not, was not too long ago.
Wasn't that long ago.
Scroll back in the feed and you'll see our man Bashir. It was a fun episode to discuss.
It's like some kind of surfing.
But this episode of Star Trek Picard, this current episode that just recently aired, it aired last night. Borg Queen or Jurati Queen.
BQ.
Queen Jurati.
BQ. Now it's now it's BQ Roddy.
Okay.
BQ Roddy.
BQ Roddy.
What?
BQ Agnes.
What, if anything, do you have any guesses as to what the Borg Queen's ultimate goal is here? What's going to happen with the Borg Queen? We understand this much so far. She's inserted herself into Jurati. They're doing a bit of a one body odd couple gimmick here.
I told you since the second episode when she had that smile on her face when they had her in the Confederate place.
Dan is wagging his finger.
And when they took took BQ out and like she was gonna help him calculate stuff, the whole time she wasn't worried. She had this sneer like, I got you all. This is going exactly as planned.
You're the South Park version of the Borg Queen.
I didn't realize I was doing that. So anyways, but I knew she was up to no good. I'm sure other people already saw that too, but...
But what does that mean? Is she actually up to no good? Does she want to go around assimilating everybody on Earth in 2024? Is she just trying to get enough power to take the La Serena to go back and get connect with the Borg in this century?
Yeah,
do you think there's going to be some resolution with the Borg? Because
I don't know. The Borg. I think in the future.
Give me the watch.
I think in the future. In the future. When they get back to the future,
in the year 2000.
And they don't blow up the Stargazer, and they figure out that they've got the answer is to let that strange version of the Borg Queen, who's probably Jurati at this point, let her do what she wants to do with the ship, and she's going to end up saving the universe in some important way. That, I think, that's going to be important Borg stuff. I presume this whole Jurati Borg business is going to somehow move in that direction.
BQ Roddy.
As I have said in previous podcast episodes on this season of Picard, I think in the end, whatever happens, Jurati will win in a sense.
Right.
So,
well, the reason I guess I was saying, do you think there'll be some resolution on the Borg? Because you were brought up the idea that, because they were saying, oh no, the Borg Queen's here. She's going to assimilate Earth. That's going to be terrible. And you kind of implied that you don't think it's going to happen. And I was going to say, if that didn't happen, that would imply that there's some resolution coming to the Borg. Because if it did happen, it would just be Borg, more of the same Borg
kind
of
stuff. But it doesn't have to be resolution to the Borg. It could be as simple as okay, they inject Jurati with something and they fixed her.
No, but I'm saying if the Borg specifically doesn't want to assimilate Earth, that would mean the Borg... Why would they not want to assimilate Earth? Why would the Borg not want to assimilate Earth?
I'm asking a similar question. And so, I don't know.
And so
this is meant to be a creative exercise.
I know, and
what's
going to
happen next
That's what I'm trying to. I'm engaging in that. Engorged
aren't
in that episode.
You're engorged in that episode.
Episode. Yeah.
Episode.
No. Ooh. What I'm saying is, if the Borg decided to assimilate Earth, it would be Borg up to their old tricks. Borg trying to assimilate. That's the Borg, and there would be no resolution on that necessarily, but for that alone. But if the Borg decided, if BQ decided we're not going to assimilate Earth, that kind of would imply that the Borg isn't as fucked up as they were, and they're kind of changing their attitude.
Yeah, but what about if the Borg, if the BQ wants to assimilate Earth, but is prevented from doing so?
Okay, so I thought you were saying that the Borg, that BQ specifically does not want to.
I'm not saying anything in particular. Okay. I'm trying to elicit ideas for what might happen in the next episode.
So you think they are
pure guesses?
There's a big difference between
the audience's entertainment.
Well, there's a big difference between trying
to... They were so wrong. Those guys on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, they guessed this and they were so wrong.
There's a big difference between them trying to assimilate Earth and getting blocked than there is if they don't
Earth blocked, Borg blocked.
Oh, God. Look. There's a big difference.
I'm trying to think of a derivative of cock blocked that would make sense.
Let me say this sentence.
You want to assimilate something, but you get assimil blocked.
Think about it quietly and come back to me when you've got something.
I will attempt to do so.
So there's a difference, of course, between BQ trying to take over Earth and assimilate Earth, but getting blocked. There's a big difference between that and BQ not wanting to do it in the first place, obviously.
Because maybe she wants to do something else. Because
there's the intentions are different. That changes everything.
She's a more BQ positive.
Maybe she wants to get
BQ
a...
BQ positive.
She wants to star in a sitcom.
Yeah.
About a sassy Borg queen.
The waggy Borg
living
queen
in Manhattan.
Man, when Seven of Nine sat at that computer and they got locked out, it's like that moment your computer freaks out, you realize you've just been invaded. Like that
locked
feeling.
Out.
Like that feeling where it clicks off and on, and you're like, wait a minute. And it doesn't quite hit you yet. And slowly you realize your life is falling apart.
Like,
has that happened to you before?
I gotta turn this thing off.
Have you had hackers take over your computer and you were like, oh my gosh, they're in the system. And then you like run around trying to unplug the computers.
Yeah, I had to put on my VR helmet and I had to jump into the system get into the system.
Your mainframe was accessed.
And I shot him with a code gun that shot lines of code at their face and it looked like a big Desert Eagle. It looked like
a
Desert Eagle gun. And I shot him at it. Shot him off his code and the code erased him.
Was it Java?
It was Java the code.
Was it Java, Python?
It was
C++.
It was future hacker code.
Was it Turbo Pascal? Fortran?
It was
that
Cobol?
Blow your face right off.
You want to make some money?
It was Haskell.
You want to make some money? Hey, audience. You want to make yourself some money? Learn yourself some Fortran and or Cobol. Fortran and or Cobol.
That's interesting. I just saw the movie.
Because then you can help the IRS fix their computers.
I need help. Fortran is... I watched the movie Hidden Figures last night.
Fortran was the first programming language I ever used.
I watched Hidden Figures last night.
Yes, you just said that.
I know, and I wasn't finished with my sentence yet. I was going to say, it had to do with Fortran.
We're bragging about my Fortran skills.
No, I was just saying...
I don't know nothing about no COBOL, but I did do Fortran.
I was just going to say, it was interesting, I saw that last night, and that was... What NASA used, they were in the movie, they were talking about how NASA used...
Do the Borg use Borgtran?
Borg.
I was just saying they talked about Fortran in the movie because that's what NASA used.
I'm just
back
thinking of what programming language the Borg used.
But I'm
this
still
is
talking,
another playful
I'm
exercise.
I'm still talking about this, though. The reason I brought up that movie is because they were using Fortran and NASA used Fortran.
Okay, that's cool. That's great.
Borg does not use Borgtran. That's stupid.
what do they use, like Turbo Borg Scal?
Oh my God.
They have like a Borg poly.
Or instead of basic, do they use Borg Sick?
Borg Sick. I'm Borg sick.
Borg plus.
You get Borg sick when you like get assimilated and then you leave the collective, you get Borg sick. It's like being dope sick.
Yeah. I get it. No, I get it. It was good.
It's Borg plus.
Borgo.
I already said Borg plus.
The Borg kids learn on that like program that's like Borgo.
It's a Sima script. A Sima script.
Borgo.
I don't know what computer language they use. They use some kind of mind shit. I don't know. Who cares? They use some shit. No, according to the episode, they use some shit with the round, circular, graphical, digital thing, and you like
instead of a Q-Bert, do they play Borg-Bert? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Do you think Q plays Q-Bert?
Was he really into cubism?
Q-Bert. All right. Any other major points? Because we don't know what the Borg is going to do next week. But I guess that was the last major thing to mention is not much Girardi in this episode. Not much Borg Queen. But we are led to believe that next week's episode quite likely will focus on them to one degree or another. We didn't see any Rene Picard.
The Guinan shit's pretty fucked.
We didn't see any Adam Soong. We didn't see any.
Yeah, good.
Or Adam Sandler. You didn't see any him.
We did not see any Adam Sandler.
Shampoo is better.
Conditioner is better. The whole Picard stuck in the ground literally as a kid.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be also some kind of metaphor for how he's mentally stuck in that moment?
Stuck in his mind.
Yeah,
too.
But he's physically and mentally. Mm. You know. I like the Ilarian.
The ceremony.
The food. Yeah. Drink like ceremony. How everything is basically just a frequency or a set of frequencies.
That was off the wall.
Yeah. Musical. It's kind of almost like, kind of like a Silmarillion.
Yeah.
You know, the creation of the universe.
That was pure fantasy.
Business.
Yeah.
It was not sci-fi. It was fantasy.
And it was awesome because that's how they looked at it, as the whole universe can be decoded or marked or calculated through resonance and frequencies. And like, but there's other ways people look at it too. It's not like we have the secret. It's like, this is part of the universe that we take advantage of, and this is how we understand it, and
that's
this
how it works for them.
That's how we can get by in this universe.
It's like the mantis shrimp.
Mantis shrimp.
No, the mantis shrimp. They can see all them colors.
Oh, can they? We can
way
see colors.
More, way more than us.
Are they big shrimp or little?
Can they hear?
No, they got big eyes.
Can they hear colors?
Can you fry them up?
I'm I think they're very fast, where they got like fast mouths. All right.
I'll catch them.
Odds and ends for this program.
It was weird how
bits and pieces.
It was weird how Guinan lost her shit when they're trying to summon the queue. That was a really weird scene.
Yeah,
it was really weird.
Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting that, and it was so like bizarre.
It wasn't quite as disturbing as when Galadriel?
Oh, right.
When she's all like, she gets tested.
Yeah, that is
creepy. She gets all free. She's like, I passed the test or something, whatever she says. Or,
yes.
And she freaks out.
She'll diminish and
I'll
go
be
into
beautiful
the
and terrible.
My favorite part of that whole scene in Guinan's bar was when the guy we end up finding out is an FBI agent, when he's walking down and Picard's all like, is that him? And she all puts her arms up in that Guinan motion to sense stuff, and she's like, nah, it's not him. And then that guy asked the question about sci-fi. I did like that part.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you guys not into space stuff?
It's like, no. Picard's like, no.
They should have been suspicious of that guy right away, because any guy who walks into a bar like that all like casual and calm,
especially if the camera hangs on him that long, you know that.
Well, even taking the filmic visual language out of it, just the actual scenario of you're in a bar, there's a bunch of broken glass all over the place, and some guy just shows up. He's like, oh, I've never been here before. I just want to come down into this empty bar in the middle of the day and have a drink because I'm celebrating.
A bunch of magical shit just happened.
Jesse, you were going to say something.
Yeah, there's a part where Seven is figuring out some stuff, and Raffi mentions the fact that Seven has not touched her coffee.
Yeah.
And she says, never not touched her coffee. And I was wondering, you think Seven developed a taste for coffee because she was on Voyager?
Yep, 100%.
And Janeway was totally crazy for coffee. Yeah. She was the crazy
coffee
captain. Janeway.
Don't talk to me without my coffee.
Yeah, so like
Chakotay. Don't talk to me without my coffee.
They definitely had a connection, Janeway and Seven. Maybe she picked up some coffee from.
I didn't think about that.
It was definitely a Voyager.
Yeah. I took it as an affectation she's taken up from a mentor from her mentor Janeway.
Totally. Speaking of the FBI guy. So
the FBI.
So they're either going to have to kill all those FBI guys or shoot them with a forgetful ray or something. Do you think
Star Trek? I'm pretty sure they're going to all get brutally murder them.
Yeah, you think that's going to happen?
It's going to be in Moon Knight or something. They're just like, we're just going to the scene will just come back and they'll all just be just
blood everywhere,
obliterated corpses with their sinews spilling out of their bellies,
Picard obliterated corpses,
dislocated jaw.
Oh, gross. Oh yeah. Ugh.
That was in Moon Knight.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Tight.
Gross. What if?
Yes, Marvel's what if?
What if Rios was Teresa's son somehow? He sent her back in time by accident and she fell in love with his father thinking it was Rios, because as we know, ancestors always look identical to their descendants, a la Colin and Laris.
Hey, it could still be Laris, long-lived Laris made of magical biology.
It could be our identical cousin. They walk alike, they talk alike.
It was her Irish cousin.
Yeah.
You will lose your mind. Cousins.
Hot dog makes her lose control.
When
hot dog what? Hot dog makes her lose control?
Yeah, that was part of the Patty Duke.
Oh, was it? I missed that part. Hot dogs make her lose control.
Good show, by the way. And when
Patty likes to rock and roll.
What's that guy's name? William whatever.
I didn't know that.
Was the Patty Duke's dad, and he was in the Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And some other Star Trek.
They totally got the identical shit from Patty Duke.
No, he was on that show, The Torkelsons.
Yeah,
I saw him on an episode
of the Carol Burnett show.
Yeah, you're free associate.
No, because Peter Tork's real name from The Monkees, Peter Tork, it's Peter, short for Peter Torkelson.
Yeah, but that's...
It's not the related.
No. The part where Captain Picard is like, what is this? What is this banging? That reminded me of a scene from A Christmas Carol. And Patrick Stewart's done A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it's an exact quote, but his portrayal, his performance reminded me, like, what is this? What is this banging?
Mm-hmm. So...
Odds and ends.
When Talon goes to Picard, she goes... Talon says to Picard, she says... she says, Picard, you saved her. He goes, I feel you and I just made a quantum leap.
Quantum leap joke.
Past personal boundaries.
She was inside his head, and she walks around, and she can control people.
Jonathan Archer.
Yes.
And what's his putty's name that was all... Dean Stockwell.
Yes, Dean Stockwell.
Right, yeah. Quantum leap. reference. Watch Quantum Leap.
I clocked that as well.
Quantum Leap
what
is
was
a,
his character's name? Dean Stockwell's character's name.
Wasn't he like the computer?
No, you're thinking Ziggy was the computer.
Oh, yeah, Ziggy was the computer.
Sam, I think it was Sam. But I can't remember Scott Bakula's name.
Scott Bakula's name was, his name was Quantum Leap. His first name was Quantum, his last name was Leap. He was Dr. Quantum Leap.
Middle name Super. That's a great show, by the way. Although I don't know if it's sort of a product of its time where it doesn't like the... The opening theme song is so silly.
It's like, they're bringing that back in here.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
and Scott Bakula.
And Scott Bakula is going to play a part in it. I don't think he's going to be the main person. Maybe he'll play the Dean Stockwell.
Well, I hope
role.
They do it well because I really enjoyed that show.
Well, that show just ended with no resolution, as I recall.
Yeah.
So you never know. It's like, is he just still hopping around? He's still because the whole point was he's trying to find his way home.
I think that is spoiler. I think that actually is there. They gave a little when they give the explanation and they tell you after the story's over what happens next. You know, this person went on to become a bloody blue blah blah.
They did like a super weird episode.
You mean like at the end of Animal House?
Yeah, exactly. So they did
or
that.
American
they
graffiti.
Did that with Quantum Leap, except I think they actually said he never returned to his body again or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Odds
and ends. It was a tragedy. Odds and ends.
Quantum tragedy.
Oh, I was talking about Picard, and even though he had this
we've been talking about.
This is the show
we're talking about.
This is episode 127 of the podcast.
When he was
talking about Picard,
he had that
episode 7.
He had a major
season 2.
He had a major breakthrough, and then Talon goes, "You know, there's more to that story, don't you?" And then Picard is like, "Whatever it is, it's irrelevant with what we are trying to fix." And like, it's not. It's not irrelevant.
No, it's clearly not.
He's just had a. I know we sort of discussed this already, but I'm still thinking like they had this discussion about his brain and all these breakthroughs, and he's still saying, "Oh, it's all irrelevant."
We all still have
completely
questions.
Irrelevant. The show's called Picard.
Do you think the uncomfortable secret that he's hiding
man.
Is that he just likes to fuck?
That's what's more to the story.
Indiscriminately.
That's why he has those Horgons. He knew what those Horgons were all about.
Fucking Tomcat.
Yeah, about that
he knew
and
what
he's embarrassed by
the
it.
Tomcat.
That don't be embarrassed
Tomcat.
About it. Don't be embarrassed
I hate that
by
term.
Jean-Luc.
Some elderly promiscuity. It's fine.
Tomcat. It's
have a good time.
I don't like that word.
Enjoy other people's bodies. Aliens of all sorts.
What is he, Beta Zed?
We've refrained from using the term Tomcat around here.
I still think
the
secret. I still, and look, I'm finally glad other people on the, I saw some people on Twitter mentioning this, but I've mentioned this on the podcast previously, where I think it's going to turn out that Picard totally had Beverly Crusher's husband killed. Because he wanted to date her. And the reason he can't date her is because he feels bad about that. So like,
you think they're going to reveal that in the show?
I would love it if they did. I honestly think they could make that work. Maybe not overtly, but I think they could have him feel guilty because he was just kind of like, oh,
you see Wesley's dad.
Kind of don't have to deal with that Jack Crusher character.
I'm starting to think that this show has nothing to do with the time that Picard didn't massacre the entire Borg race with the virus.
I was wondering when you were going to bring that up.
I'm starting to think that
pretty much every episode this season.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to force it at this point.
Dan's referencing the episode I, Borg, when Picard had the opportunity to commit genocide upon the Borg using a computer virus, a la Independence Day, which came later.
The only reason I bring it up is to sort of maybe it's time to put some closure on that, put a lid on that one, because just to say, I'm starting to think has nothing to do with that. So I figured I'd bring it up to let you know, so we can tie a knot on this one.
Murphy's Law says that the next episode is going to it's gonna open with a flashback to that scene, and the Borg Queen being like, I remember Picard tried to do that. Now I'm going to genocide fucking Earth.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would feel so awesome. Did you notice they said forget butterflies? So it was like a reference directly to butterflies.
Yes.
They just said forget butterflies.
Was there a reference last week that I don't remember a reference to butterflies last week? Every other episode, there's been some reference, you know, or iconography.
Not in this house.
Yeah, suffering succotash.
All right. So maybe right, you can write in at the email we'll give you in a few minutes about that. The only other real odd and end I had, I did like that when Picard said, "You're making me uneasy." On the second watch through, it was more poignant because you realize he's talking to his dad.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like their typical, like, "Ooh, you're making me, I'm uncomfortable talking to you about
like,
personal
he's
stuff."
He's like, "Why do I have to do your job for you?"
Yeah.
A classic sort of dad
exactly and wrapped in with the whole mother thing, you know, like he couldn't protect his mother, his father should have protected the mother, but the father couldn't.
I want to bring up on the sort of the next episode of what did closed captioning say.
Oh, okay. I was nervous at why You were introducing this topic in a very delicate fashion. Yeah. It's making me a little nervous.
I was just trying to figure out how to cleverly word it. When Jean-Luc says, She's in there, you hey. And then it says there between you and hey, it says in the closed captioning, in parentheses or brackets, it says pants. So on the screen, it just says pants and then hey.
But like, so not trousers.
Not like, no, but that's what it looks like. I know it means pants is in their breathing, but it's
they're not slacks.
But yeah, it just not makes slacks. it makes yeah. Right, exactly. It's not meant to be slacks.
Not chinos.
No, it's meant to look, but it's not meant to look like
jeans.
That. But it's just when I look at the screen and it just says pants, and so I'm just thinking, hey, it just says pants because they felt like saying pants because slacks, right? But they were really, I knew what they were really getting at. So closed captioning is very clever.
Yeah. The last thing I have, and this could be a hallucination on my part, but I felt that towards the beginning of the episode, in the scene where Picard and his mother are in that glass atrium area painting, there is about a 2-second reference to the Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. There's a musical theme that's present throughout that film. It's like three notes. It feels like three or four notes from it mixed in with other stuff. Again, I apologize if I've imagined this, but I rewound it a few times and listened to it. And it just felt a little bit, I cannot replicate it here. So you're going to have to guess at it, but I want everyone to go back to that scene and listen for three or four notes that sound kind of like Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
Maybe it's sort of majestic, like... You don't have to...
Jerry Goldsmith?
You don't have to apologize, man. Like, you got to take risks in life.
I just don't want to waste anybody's time.
No, but imagine, what if you said that every time you thought of something and you just didn't say it because you
I just have lower confidence in this particular
thing. Okay.
That's all.
That's, that's Jesse's life? That's pretty sad, Jesse.
Okay, I think that's probably all our odds and ends and all that other business. So now for the administration part, during the administrative portion of the episode,
this is just a couple minutes,
deal with it. And then when you listen to this, then you get some useful information. Then you can listen to the fun little bonus, clip at the end. It'll be a short clip that it will be funny.
Ooh.
And you can try to figure out, which clip are they going to pick? I don't know. Or you can be like, I never listened to the end of the podcast, so I never know.
I didn't even know they did this. They keep talking. I just turn it off after
a while. But we take great care in selecting these clips each week to provide the maximum entertainment to our audience and the particular proclivities that we assume you have if you're enjoying listening to this program.
Do you ever enjoy listening to Carole King?
The musician? Like songs from Carole King?
There's some pretty solid songs that
she's done. Songs she's singing like about chicken soup and rice, some kind of kid's book.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That show's good. That's like that. The animation is like the same guy that does the Where the Wild
Things. Yeah, exactly. Right.
What's the guy's name?
Maurice something?
Sendak. Sendak. And there's one where she's talking about Pierre. She's like, Pierre who doesn't care or something. She's like, what would you like to eat?
I don't care. Right.
Some lovely cream of wheat. Okay. I don't care.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
That had something to do with this somehow.
I want to clarify to our...
I can't believe you've seen that. My brother used to have that video as a kid.
That was on when I was a kid. Your brother's only like a year older than me.
My younger brother. No, my stepmom had a VHS of that. And she would play it for him all the time.
We would see that all the time.
It's a quality choice.
We have to clarify for new listeners.
It's gone through generations, apparently.
That this is not part of the administrative section. We are in the administrative section of the podcast.
This is the dilly dally.
We're past the odds and ends.
We're in the dilly dally section.
This is not supposed to be the dilly dally session.
We've taken over.
But it does happen from time to time.
The dilly dally is encroached.
But so for administrative purposes, we are obligated to let you know that this has been the Star Trek. This has been the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Suck it.
You may reach us by email at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Our podcast is available on all reputable and a few disreputable podcast services.
We're not on the dark web.
We are
I'm sure we are.
Apple Podcasts, iTunes,
not on
Google
purpose.
Podcasts, Spotify. All that. So
we're on Spotify?
If you have friends. Yeah, we're on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. And a bunch of those weird other ones.
Do we have an exclusive Spotify contract?
Natalie listens to
Clearly not, because we're on all these other services that I've just listed.
And we're not getting paid, are we?
Well, you guys aren't. That's for sure.
I knew it.
So, yes. So you tell all your friends who are, you know, they're listening and they hear you.
Your earbud, you're
pottering around the house and your earbud pops out and they can just barely hear a hint of the podcast streaming out of the earbud because it didn't auto pause when it disconnected. And your friends are like, what's that? I want to know how to get that. You can tell them.
Hey, yo.
Hey, buddy. Ouch. What's that keen noise you're listening to? I'd like to hear some of that. Well, direct them to any podcast service or www.itsgotstartrek.com. That's our website. You can do all sorts of fun stuff there, including get the podcast. But finally, find us on social media where you can start ridiculous arguments over nonsense. If you like, you can argue amongst yourselves. That seems to be the new pastime on our social media feeds. But you can find us on all the social media at It's Got Star Trek, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
I wonder how many of those people actually ended up listening to the podcast, though.
Oh, yeah, right. Some of them, and the I bet some of the ones that end up listening are going to be sad because they probably are like, those guys are cool. They hate Star Trek.
They're going to be very disappointed.
We don't know how to get a joke. We don't know how to get whimsy. If this is an opaque statement to you, don't worry about it. If you're listening 300 years in the future,
yeah,
Twitter used to be a thing, but then it got bought by some lunatic. Don't worry about it. It's irrelevant by the time you're listening to this. Okay. So that'll do it for us this week. Next week, we will talk about episode 8 of season 2 of Star Trek Picard. And the episode title is Mercy. Because they finally again released some episode titles ahead of time, which is always nice when they do that. So,
Patrick loves that.
I do.
It's his favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world. we will be talking at you about that Star Trek Picard episode, Mercy, next week around the same time. And
have mercy.
And we can't tell you whether we like it or not yet because we haven't seen it. So when we see it, it's kind of how this works. It's kind of part and parcel of the whole podcasting gig, right? All right. So we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. Television.
Are you from outer space?
No. I'm from Chile. I work in outer space.